Harper Audio presents Tomb of the Golden Bird by Elizabeth Peters. Performed by Barbara Rosenblatt. Chapter 1. Ramses! Seated on the terrace of Shepherd's Hotel, I watched with interest as a tall young man stopped and turned, as if in response to the calling of his name. Yet this was not the 14th century BC, but the year of our Lord, 1922. And the tall man was no ancient pharaoh, though his bronzed skin and black hair resembled those of an Egyptian. His height and bearing proclaimed him for what he was: an English gentleman of the finest quality. He was also my son, Ramses Walter Peabody Emerson, who was better known in Egypt by his sobriquet. He raised his hand to his brow and realized that, as usual, he was not wearing a hat. In lieu of removing that which was not present, he inclined his head in greeting, and one of his rare, attractive smiles warmed his thin face. I craned my neck and half rose from my chair in order to see the individual who had occasioned this response, but the crowds that filled the street blocked my view. Cairo traffic had grown worse since my early days in Egypt. Motor cars now mingled with donkeys and camels, carts and carriages, and the disgusting effluvians their engines emitted offended the nostrils more than the odours of the above-mentioned beasts, to which, admittedly, I had become accustomed. I deduced that the person my son addressed was of short stature, and most probably female, basing this latter assumption on Ramses' attempt to remove his hat and the affability of his smile. A portly person wearing a very large turban and mounted on a very small donkey passed in front of my son, and by the time he had gone by, Ramses was wending his way toward the steps of the hotel and the table where I sat awaiting him. "Who was that?" I demanded.
"Good afternoon to you too, Mother."
Ramses bent to kiss my cheek.
"Good afternoon. Who was that?"
"Who was whom?"
"Ramses," I said, warningly. My son abandoned his teasing.
"I believe you're not acquainted with her, Mother. Her name is Suzanne Malraux, and she studied with Mr. Petrie."
"Ah, yes," I said. "You are mistaken, Ramses. I heard of her last year from Professor Petrie. He described her work as adequate."
"That sounds like Petrie."
Ramses sat down and adjusted his long legs under the table.
"But you must give him credit. He has always been willing to train women in archaeology."
"I have never denied Petrie any of the acclaim that is his due, Ramses." Ramses' smile acknowledged the ambiguity of the statement.
"Training is one thing, employment another. She has been unable to find a position."
I wondered if Ramses was implying that we take the young woman on to our staff. She might have approached him rather than his father or me. He was, I admit, more approachable, particularly by young ladies. Let me hasten to add that he did not invite the approaches. He was devoted to his beautiful wife, Nefret, but it might be asking too much of a lady who is approaching a certain time of life to allow her husband close association with a younger female. Miss Malraux was half French, and she was bound to be attracted to Ramses. Women were. His gentle manners, my contribution, and athletic frame, his father's, his somewhat exotic good looks, and a certain je ne sais quoi. In fact, I knew perfectly well what it was, but refused to employ the vulgar terms currently in use. No, despite our need for additional staff, it might not be advisable.
"Have you had any interesting encounters?"
Ramses asked, looking over the people taking tea on the terrace. They were the usual sort, well-dressed, well-groomed, and almost all white, if that word can be used to describe complexions that ranged from pimply pale to sunburned crimson. "Lord and Lady Allenby stopped to say hello," I replied. "He was most agreeable, but I understand why people refer to him as the bull. He has that set to his jaw."
"He has to be forceful. As High Commissioner, he is under fire from the imperialists in the British government and the nationalists in Egypt. On the whole, I can only commend his efforts."
I did not want to talk politics. The subject was too depressing.